So I believe the only cultural relevant thing to talk about now is Pokemon Go, right?
That's right.
That is the sum total. That is the apex of human civilization. And without it, there will be, no Pokemon, no peace, that sort of thing. May I suggest that as a bumper sticker, perhaps?
I will reject your suggestion.
No, I think it works. I think Pokemon is a better representation of world peace, a better vector, a better medium, a better modulator for world peace than any overarching supervisory demon, god, secret, nefarious purpose, whatever that you could name. I think Pokemon might bring us peace where nothing in the Holy Lands has.
Isn't Pokemon digital dogfighting, though?
No, it's more like it's digital math. I mean, really, it's I pick a random cute thing and then they spit random numbers at each other until one of them loses and then somebody is the winner. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-Skeptic, 844-753-7842. And boy, my brother is going to murder me after that description, because that's about the only thing he's done for most of his life. And, I play Mario. How much better is that? And joining me this week is Becky. How are you?
I am doing quite well and Pokemon free.
Yeah, still lovely, by the way. And Dave joining us for the first time in, I would say a bit.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think I was the first of the break episodes.
Yeah.
And I haven't been back since.
You know, that's a good point. This is the first time we're actually recording an episode on a Sunday that it's airing since sometime in May.
Yep.
And, it's nice to be current again. It's nice to have all of the relativistic effects of time travel kind of wearing off. Yeah, indeed. Just get me a...
That was my TARDIS,
I do have a theme song with a theremin in it.
Nice.
I would just like to point that out.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
I'm still battling the time travel jet lag here.
Yeah, not British, though, so whatever.
Are there
American-accented... Time Lords?
Hell,
are there any American accent Gallifreyans? I'd accept that. I'll be the janitor at the Time Lords College. I'll go with that. That's
American,
fine.
American accents face of Bo. Does that count?
Yeah, I suppose it does. No, without giving any spoilers, yeah, I love being that guy. Just look at him. Anyway.
Don't mind if I do.
I thought you might think that. Yeah, Becky was saying in the pre-show that we should say that something like there's some cool Pokemon things going on at my house. And no thanks. I want to keep any tiny slivers of privacy I have remaining in my life. And the last thing I need is, there's a Pokemon, Pokegym, which sounds creepy as hell, right in front of my house.
We haven't had so many people coming by with their, cell phones or whatnot. Mostly public parks and the occasional neighborhood church.
But a lot of people... Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, with the church thing, I have seen a few people on Twitter. It's like, my local church is a Pokegym. Nice try, God. Ain't going to happen.
Well, apparently a lot of churches are actually Pokegyms.
Yeah.
And I saw the sign of the Unitarian Universalists, who I will plug till the cows come home, metaphorically. And it's like, we don't know if you know what a Unitarian Universalist church is. We do all of these cool things, and it's this really kind of neat sign, and then it ends with, please don't trample on our flowers. And like, so you love everybody, but flower tramplers.
That's a reasonable person to criticize.
You're a church. I don't know. I feel like you got some standard to live up to there.
Hey, I'm not the one who put Universalist in my name, okay?
Precisely, yeah. What I'm saying is that UUs have a limit to their love, and being a jerk to plants might be a limit. I could go on about Pokemon all day, but I'm actually kind of serious. I mean... Yeah, people have been robbed because they're clearly outplaying it, but that happened with Ingress, too. If you broadcast to the world that you're going out and doing things, a small percentage of you are going to be preyed upon.
I don't play the game, but I love the amount of joy that has been inserted into the internet over the last week because of this. There's just been an emotional shift, and I think a much-needed emotional shift, And there are still terrible things going on in the world, and there's still things that we need to discuss, but...
Oh, and we'll get there.
And we'll get there,
definitely.
Yeah. But there's...
Not this segment, though.
There's definitely a sense of relief of, hey, let's look at this thing and make jokes about it and laugh about it and have fun with it.
I think it's not just on the internet that there's been joy that's arisen from this. I mean, we, all three of us, live in fairly urban areas, and it's pretty regular that, you know, just kind of walking along the street or on the way to the supermarket, you'll have, you know, folks that are then going by with their phones and walking in groups and having fun and out in the park and, you know, parents and kids, and it's really fun.
Yeah, it looks fun. And you're expecting me to be one of those people who, because of my countercultural bias, which I admit openly, if it's popular, chances are I have a problem with it. Witness Star Wars, Firefly, chess, the idea of being outside. I could go on. If it's a thing that people do, I'm probably against it. Pokemon is not one of these things. And if you're one of those people who is so dead inside, who has tortured and killed their child so thoroughly that you can't see why somebody might enjoy this.
You mean their own inner child at this point?
No. Because I...
The implications there were a little bit suspect, Sam.
I am questioning the values of this kind of person that hard, I suppose, is what I'm doing.
Go on, sir.
I hope you get a rash in a confusing place. That's all I've got to say. Because I'm starting to see some kickbats. Kickback, not kickbacks. They're not like getting like free insurance or something for playing Pokemon Go. They're getting annoyance from people who are like, ah, Pokemon Go is for kids and it's all about sports. And it's like, A equals B here.
Yeah.
Which provides a wonderful segue for our first actual part of the actual show. The Minnesota Atheists will hold held a charity night with the local minor league baseball team for the fifth consecutive year. The St. Paul Saints will play July 16th as the Mr. Paul Aints while hosting the local Free Thought group. The group is also asking fans to leave their souls at the door by bringing their used shoes to donate for the Souls for Souls charity. Minnesota Atheists says the purpose of the event is to promote positive atheism and show their fun-loving ways to the general public.
Somebody wrote the story a week ago.
Hey, I have like a lot of backlog that we got to go through, and I'm going to be doing like time shifting this entire week, and it's confusing as heck. And yeah,
well, I love that this has become a tradition and it's become sustainable year after year. The team franchise has been able to say, yeah, we'll welcome you in for a special event day and change our logo and do a charity event, and it's awesome. It's just flat out awesome. You know, some people can have their grumbles about, you know, sports and baseball and tribal. It's all just a reenactment of tribalism,
right?
But in this case, no, this is a day out in the park, in the ballpark, and you get to promote atheism and humanism.
Well, it's not just a regular thing in Minnesota, but I'll be honest, it's a regular thing that we talk about the show. We talk about this on the show every year they do it, because
right.
It's really fun. I mean, not only is it my favorite sport currently baseball, but it's also it's a confluence of sports and atheism, which is a thing that generally does not happen outside of beer pong and
or Pokemon,
and even the baseball team has fun with it. They go from the St. Paul Saints to the Mr. Paul Aints. And I love it so much, I bought a jersey last year.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember, because you were worried about, like, because the price was a little higher than you were expecting.
Yeah.
Because you thought you were getting a t-shirt.
I didn't think I was getting an actual jersey. And I thought, oh, I'm paying a high price for a good cause. I'm going to say, to my friends in closed environs, that's a high price, but it's a price worth paying. And then I get it, and it's an actual jersey, and I go, wait, no, this was a really good deal.
Well, and the jerseys and the, you know, various Souls for Souls and other kinds of auctions that have been going on, every year they have a different charity that they're giving to. Some years it's Camp Quest, other years it's for different, good causes. And it's really cool. And it's really nice to see that, hey, you know what? Families and individuals and atheists can come together as a group and enjoy normal things like other humans.
Yeah.
Right? It's associating the fact that you're non-religious with we do other normal stuff too.
Well, that's kind of the thing here, and that's part of the reason why I've now brought atheism into the thing we're discussing today, but it's a thing that I think I need to say, especially in light of terror attacks in half a dozen places and recent coups, like a coup in a country where like the standing government and the military, I kind of hope the meteor wins that one, and just a bunch of stuff that if you're listening to my show, chances are you know about it because I've met you guys and you're more read up on the news than I am, and this kind of stuff is important. It is a vector for people who might not otherwise consider that people who do not believe as they do or people who do not look as they do might have something in common. It's a come together kind of thing. And it would be weird for me to take this really sappy and important thing and then mash it into a history reference and then mash it into a promotional reference. But I'm going to do just that right now. For example, one of my favorite moments in history is the Christmas Day Armistice about 102 years ago now, where there was trench warfare going on, but it was Christmas and it kind of stunk. And then both sides said, yeah, whatever, we're gonna get together and go just not shoot at each other for a few minutes. Yeah, we're gonna be shooting at you tomorrow. Da, 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 da. It's an incredible story. And well,
they played soccer.
Like, I was about to say, and one of the things they did was play soccer.
Right.
Which brings me to the promotional aspect of this horrible, horrible thing that I'm doing right now. And that is, if you are a fan of sport, as Mitt Romney would say, is I was recently on a podcast about soccer.
We had some fun.
Hosted by somebody actually kind of in the room right now.
Yes. This week's episode of Hands Free Football, Sam joined me because Carol decided to run off to the woods for a month.
Yeah,
she does every year.
Yeah, she does that. The ship comes, she gets beamed up, and then she has to go fight the bugs with Robert Heinlein for a while.
Exactly.
Not exactly.
Actually, it kind of exactly was because there was that one year where we were both at Camp Quest Northwest and kind of had to get away, and then we watched the riff tracks of Starship Troopers. Which is the Robert Heinlein novel where there are bugs and people shoot them and it's really gone home.
Corrected.
Okay, yeah, I'm saying there's like layers here.
But she is saving the environment and saving the world three teenagers
yeah,
at
I
a time,
know,
right?
I think with the liberal use of nuclear weapons as Starship Troopers, there was no environment saving. But yeah, that is what she is doing.
I was hoping you enjoyed the little blurb I wrote on the page when I posted saying you bloviated all over the show. Because, and then I'm like, God, that's kind of insulting. No, Sam's going to take that as a compliment.
I didn't take it as a compliment.
Oh.
I just saw it as an accurate description of what was happening.
it was a blast, and yeah, I'm promoting my own show here, but I encourage you, go listen to it. We had a lot of fun.
Handsfreefootball.com, and the salient point was I actually attended the Sounders game that was in Seattle this week that had an astounding outcome.
5-0.
5-0. I always want to say 5-0 because that's the language of my people, but then like I have to do a little bit of regular expressions in my head. All right, 5-0.
Yes.
Yes, because I have to sound like I'm from Europe. And no, it's a lot of fun, and
Becky came as well.
Yeah, it definitely was fun. It was a most surprising game. I think one of the fun things is that there's always flames that shoot out of the goals every time that there's a goal that is scored, and I think we noticed that one of them seemed to be a little bit wimpy on the fifth goal towards the end of the game. Are they running out of fuel?
Was the goal gas running low?
I have not heard anything official about that, but I did get after the game, after every game, the team sort of takes a tour. The team takes a tour around the field and then stops in front of the ECS, and they kind of give a bow to the ECS while the flamethrowers go off. And I have film of that, and they're not quite going off like they usually do. They're a little wimpy.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to the break, and we're going to move from this philosophical fun point to some actual serious news when we come back from the break.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's more than basic.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month, we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
Welcome back! This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic, 844-753-7842. So while we're going to be a little bit more serious for a few minutes, there is some good news, some bad news, and most of it has to do with the courtroom, which is a place we often visit here inside the studio of our minds. And the first one has to do with the Supreme Court. Actually, most of them have to do with the Supreme Court, except for one. Figure out which one it is. The Supreme Court has ruled that a restrictive Texas law applying to abortion clinics is unconstitutional. Texas House Bill 2 required that abortion clinics upgrade their facilities to hospital-like standards and that doctors have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. The law's implementation would have closed all but a few clinics in the state. In Stephen Breyer's majority opinion, he stated that despite claims that the law was intended to protect women, in actuality, it only placed an undue burden on women's access to abortions.
This is huge because it also gives precedent to a lot of other states that have been toying with this way of restricting access to reproductive health care. We have lots of states that have said, you know what, in order to protect women, we need to have it like a hospital, when medical, you know, standards and best practices don't say that that's something that's required at all.
Right.
And it has had the effect of saying, of closing a lot of clinics in areas or threatening the closure of clinics. And what we've seen pop up in place of clinics are these pregnancy emergency health centers that are almost singularly run from a Protestant Christian perspective, saying, you know, we will help you if you're pregnant, we'll give you free pregnancy tests. They're deceptive.
Yeah, and they give you literature that says that if you have an abortion, you get scurvy.
Or that, you know, your soul is in danger, you know,
right.
I mean, but something that makes about as much sense as that. So the Supreme Court ruling in this case is really, you know, monumental, basically.
No, this is absolutely important.
Yes. Yeah. And one of the things I like is, like, during oral arguments, I believe it was Justice Kennedy asked the state of Texas, who was the plaintiff in this, asked him, Can you come up with a single, you keep insisting that this is for women's protection, that this is there to protect women and make sure that they have better coverage. Can you come up with a single instance of a woman being harmed because the clinic she went to did not meet these standards? And they're like, no.
Right.
Not one.
They have to be very careful with the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court is a little bit Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
And you will know I am the court.
Yeah, yeah. Or say what again? Yeah, that kind of thing. They'll totally do that on you. And honestly, I don't know if there's enough 70s furniture left for most of these abortion clinics. Frankly,
you mean the
might have to start
the crisis pregnancy centers.
No, I mean the abortion clinics.
Okay.
To have the right furniture to look like a hospital.
The meeting hospital standards. Yes.
Right. Yeah, we might have to start a strategic 70s furniture reserve.
Is there going to be a run on baby blue paint?
Yeah, and whatever few remaining square meters of shag carpet are left will be taken up immediately. Now, this is terrible, and make no mistake about it. The reason I'm joking about it is that there's not, like, discussing the finer points of this law. There's no there. The whole point of this was to come up with a standard, which this was, mm-hmm. I should say, because sometimes winners win, that had the verisimilitude of medical requirements, but had the actual effect, had the spirit, had the intent of basically circumventing constitutional rights.
Exactly.
And that's a no-no, as it turns out.
Constitutional rights in the purpose of serving your particular flavor of religion, where you think
Not the constitutional rights, the circumventing of the constitutional
rights.
Yes,
you circumvent the constitutional rights in order to serve your flavor of religion.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if we need to buttress that. I mean, it seems like we should live in a country where we could say if a group is attempting to, or if a state is passing laws that violate your constitutional rights, no further buttressing is required. Unfortunately, we do not live in that world.
Yeah.
Grumble.
And I do want to point out one little thing. Becky, you mentioned the clinics, these weird...
The crisis pregnancy centers.
And when you say, like, they give you pamphlets that tell you your soul's in danger, that doesn't bother me. Like, that's their shtick. That's kind of where they're coming from. What scares me is they'll give you literature that lies. Like... tells you, like you were making the joke about the pregnancy, her abortions will give you scurvy. They will tell you, like, if you get an abortion, there's a good chance that you could never have children again, which is absolutely not true.
The lie that you have a high chance of harming your reproductive organs permanently if you have an abortion, the
lie
imaginary
of breast cancer risk.
Right. But in many ways to me, worse ones, the increased incidence of suicide among people who have an abortion, which is an imaginary thing that doesn't exist, and the APA would be ecstatic to tell you that. And just all of the psychological stuff beyond all the medical stuff.
Yeah. The ones who come in... Go ahead.
The ultimate point here being is that if you have an abortion, it's this wonderful little Orwellian thought crime thing where if you have an abortion, you're actually taking away personal agency rather than expressing personal agency.
Exactly. And so the clinics that are upfront about their religious purpose, I'm fine with, because you can see them coming. You know who they are.
Yeah.
It's the ones who try and dress themselves up, not as a religious organization, but as a medical organization to spread falsehood is really scary.
Absolutely. Shall the hits keep on coming?
Please.
Alrighty. One day after ruling Texas anti-abortion law unconstitutional, the Supreme Court refused to hear appeals about similar laws in Mississippi and Wisconsin. Both states had laws that would demand that abortion providers have admitting privileges in local hospitals, similar to the Texas law that was struck down. The court's refusal to hear this case cemented the precedent set the day before, declaring that the Texas law unfairly limited women's access to reproductive services. The Mississippi law would have closed the lone remaining abortion clinic in the state. Similar laws are expected to be challenged in Alabama, Kansas, Louisiana, Missouri, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Utah.
North Dakota?
That would be North Dakota.
Did I say Tacoma?
Yeah.
Whatever, I've been up for like 800 hours. North Dakota.
So this really is by saying, hey, a refusal to hear these other challenges
North Tacoma is weird.
It's not a separate state.
Yes,
Sam.
It is. Have you been there?
It's like a separate city.
They even talk different.
So back to Mississippi and Wisconsin, where they tried to enact these hospital standard laws.
Yeah.
The lower court said, no, not cool, not happening. And the Supreme Court decided not to hear an appeal by the legislators and by the states to say, hey, they ruled unfairly against us. We want to protect women, is really saying, no, the thing that we did the other day with Texas, we mean that to apply to all these other states, too.
Right.
Did you not hear me the first time?
Precisely. Yes.
Go to Europe.
This is the right thing. I mean, I really, really dislike those emergency pregnancy centers, which sounds like it's an emergency and you want to be pregnant, but it's not. And but they got one in Tacoma, and it's I've talked to people who've been there, and it is not how I would describe as a pleasant place, and it isn't like unpleasant in a churchy way. I don't know. I'd actually want to have somebody who'd been in one on the show for me to go through. But it's a really skeevy practice.
Yeah.
But they're allowed. That's fine. You can do that. You can open up a business that has a big sign out front that says that I am a jerk. What you can't do is say is to come up with laws like these. And that is now. We thought it might go that way, but it now has gone that way. Hooray.
Hooray.
Indeed.
Shall we move on, or did you?
Yeah, there's also good news on the reproductive front in another case.
Ah, yes. The Supreme Court declined to hear a case involving a Washington state law that requires pharmacists to offer contraceptives despite the religious objections of pharmacy owners. The law allows pharmacies to decline to fulfill prescriptions on the basis of patient health or inability to pay, but does not allow an exemption for religious belief. While the law was originally declared unconstitutional in the federal court in 2007, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals overturned the decision, reinstating the law. The Supreme Court's refusal to take the case effectively upholds the circuit court's decision.
Yay!
I have a favorite thing about the oral arguments in this one. It is
the oral arguments for oral contraceptives?
Yes. It actually surpasses ridiculosity in this case. So I think it's in the dissent, and I forget which justice actually wrote the dissent and then, you know, based off of some oral arguments, but it said, you know what? A pharmacy owner or individual pharmacist can refuse to fill prescriptions on a secular basis. So therefore, if you're not allowing them to refuse to fill prescriptions on a religious basis, you're being discriminatory towards practitioners of religion. Hold on. It gets stupider from there. Guess what the secular basis was, you know, specifically that you can refuse to fill a prescription based on.
What's that?
If there was a misprint or mistype in the prescription and they say, oh no, this clearly was the wrong prescription, we're calling your doctor again and having them edit it because they added on two zeros instead of, you know, it's like 500 milligrams instead of five. Well, that's a secular basis, so you should have a religious basis to be able to deny a prescription.
Wow. So because there are reasons, my reasons therefore are valid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any reason.
I'm going to take a page from the Principia Discordia on this one and say, like, this is one of those situations where what they're saying is if a cabbage is at your desk asking for birth control and you don't offer a cabbage birth control, then you're allowed to not offer birth control anyone because you're kind of a bigot.
Somewhere along the lines, I lost you with the cabbage metaphor, but I think you're saying that if there's any reason...
Would denying birth control to a cabbage be a secular reason to deny birth control?
No, because the secular reasons for denying to fill prescription or refusing to fill prescription are all based on, like, pragmatics and the health of a patient. I'm not going to give this person 500 milligrams.
No, the whole point here is that there's a pragmatic argument in this. You don't give birth control to cabbages. You give them to people.
Yes, true.
That's a pragmatic argument. That's a secular, pragmatic, logical point.
Look at you being all rational.
It is oral contraceptive. Cabbages don't have mouths.
Yeah, I could go on. I could say how the chemicals don't work on cabbage or may work in unapproved ways.
Now, I don't want to claim too much knowledge of this entire situation, but I do work at a pharmacy.
Oh, right.
So the way I see this, now in my pharmacy, it's kind of a larger pharmacy. It's not one of the corporate ones. It's a small, locally owned business, but we have a lot of different things going on. So at any point, we usually have four pharmacists working.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem if you have one pharmacist who's like, yeah, I'm really uncomfortable doing oral contraceptive because religious things.
Right.
He can hand it off to somebody else without telling any, you know, making a big deal out of it.
And I believe that is still legal in our state.
That is legal in our state. If he's the only one there, too bad.
Right.
Like, you don't get to make that choice for the customer.
It's a law for institutions, not individuals.
Right.
And the people who push these laws confuse that in two ways. One is they think that they want it to be about institutions. And they want it to be because you're saying my business has to give out contraceptives, therefore I have to give out contraceptives.
Right.
That is not necessarily true. However, they also do the flip side of that is that because I don't want to give out contraceptives, therefore I am going to prevent everybody in this building from giving out contraceptives.
Right.
And it's this is one of those things where they really want to have it both ways. They want the corporations to have the rights of a person in ways that they like, but to not have the rights of a person in the ways that they don't like.
Right.
And it's a really flimsy excuse to ban contraceptives.
And in this case, the Supreme Court said, no, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it the way that you like, but, you know, individuals for the ways that you don't like.
Yeah. And it comes back to me for the irony of all of this, the thing that I will never understand about these people that, no, I say that I don't understand this about these people because I'm trying to be nice, and I shouldn't try to be nice. being against abortion and birth control is that's you are basically saying, I want to control other people for my God. People must act like I do. I want to impose my morality on you through legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't... There's nothing good about that. That has a terrible history in the United States and perhaps in human civilization.
Right. Why? I keep coming back. Every one of these cases of religious people trying to apply their standards to everyone else, I do not understand. If you don't want to take contraception, don't take contraception.
Right.
Why is it so important that you have to say, my wife can't take contraception as well?
Right.
Why is that the line that you have to cross?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's this amazing meme I saw years ago, and I absolutely loved it. It was just a picture.
No, let me get under the table. You're doing a meme.
It's just a picture of a Hasidic Jew. You know, the hair curls.
I'm sure Becky's familiar with
him. Yes. And it just says, doesn't eat bacon, doesn't try to stop you from doing it.
I think that that's a reasonable argument.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, Hasidic Jews are used to being in the minority.
True.
And this may be the sort of call of evangelical Christians that are not used to being or refuse to see themselves in a pluralistic society.
Well, this moves us into the fun majoritarian arrogance category, where, well, the weird dichotomy of having that majoritarian arrogance while also saying they are a persecuted minority in a nation where they have social control.
Yeah.
Ta-da. But to end this all, because it wouldn't be Ask an Atheist if we didn't end a segment on a down note. We have this from Texas. Again, Texas, the base of the obtuse triangle. The Texas Supreme Court ruled in favor of a homeschooling couple who refused to teach their children to state standards. Laura and Michael McIntyre sued after they were asked to prove that their 9 children were being educated to state standards. The school inquired after one of the kids' uncles said that he never saw them learning anything. When he asked the children why they weren't learning, one of the children said that they didn't have to because they were going to be raptured. The court ruled 6-3 in favor of the McIntyres on technical grounds, but refused to rule on the constitutional grounds. Which means this goes to the state Supreme Court and goes down in flames.
Yes.
Well, yeah, so this is a state Supreme Court saying, yeah, you know what, our current law on a technicality does not require us to do this, does not require our citizens of the state of Texas to do this, but we're not going to rule on the constitutional rights of the children having possibly been violated.
Right.
Which is a tactic that a lot of, older teens or young adults who were homeschooled and essentially denied an appropriate comprehensive education by their religious parents, it's a tactic that some of them are investigating and choosing to pursue. And when you have someone who, you know, we've talked with people that, you know, have come to atheist and humanist gatherings who were raised in families that where they were homeschooled and they were not taught things about basic math, basic biology.
I got to stop and point at the evil skeleton in the room here, the evil ooze dripping poisonous skeleton in the room here, and that there is a dark corner of my brain that I have to spend a non-trivial amount of mental resources shouting down, that seeing this in a purely faux Darwinian light, shall we say?
Go on.
Okay. I don't think if I... I'm going to say...
You declined to go on at that point.
I think you might see where I'm going.
I see where you're going.
Yeah, maybe not Darwinian, but perhaps faux Dawkinsian position.
In a cynical way, you could say this is a self-solving problem.
Yeah, and I was specifically avoiding using that terminology, which is a terminology that I use, so thank you for using it. But the refutation that I use on that argument is that I have met the end product of it, and these are actual humans with real feelings who feel absolutely cheated by the way they were treated by life, and deserve better.
Right.
They deserve just as much of a chance as anybody else. And when we start talking about it when I start thinking about it in these Darwinian terms, I'm basically treating these kids like property. Mm-hmm. And that is a terrible thing to do. And so this is me, I guess, publicly exercising these demons, these faux demons, if you will.
I feel, Becky, I know exactly where you stand on this, but do we assume that an education is a right? Like, every human has a right to be educated.
Well, it's something that actually is in the UN Charter of Rights of the Child. I think some of our past guests might be able to comment on that a little bit more. But where I am going on it, you know, you said 5 minutes ago, you work at a pharmacy. I work at a school.
Yeah.
And I think besides that, you know, it's real people with real feelings. You're absolutely right. And in this case, it's children. It's 9 children. And we know that if there's one family of 9 children who are being denied any education because they think they're going to be raptured, we know that there's other families of 9, 12, 15 children that
or maybe are even one. Or two. We shouldn't make assumptions.
Exactly.
But it doesn't have to be 9.
It doesn't have to be at all. And we see this in actually not just homeschooling families, and we see this not just in evangelical Christians that believe that they're going to be raptured at any given time. We see this in the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, where girls and boys have a very separate education, and girls are actually allowed to learn a few more secular things than boys, because they're immersed in Talmudic studies. And, you know, kids graduate or kids leave the school systems that are actually incorporated schools. You know, at age 16, not being able to speak any English and only being Yiddish speakers. This isn't limited just to evangelical Christians. I do believe that the right to be educated and have that comprehensive education is a right. It is important. And I think, I hope that these children, whatever guardian ad litem or whatever advocate is, you know, suing on their behalf, we'll pursue this further, or we'll see other cases. And I think, Texas, you went wrong on this case.
And I think they will be corrected. But I disagree on one point. I don't know that education is a right.
Hmm.
I do think access to information should be a right, which is distinct from education, but is also a requirement for education in many ways.
I would argue that it is a requirement for education, but the knowledge of how to utilize the information that you have access to is something absolutely important. Maybe my argument is that it is essential and a moral, we are morally compelled to educate.
I would say that with information comes education, whether you want it or not, and that when you say education, you tend to mean something very specific, where I would want it to mean something significantly more general. And that is achieved by making it free access to information. When you control information, you control the person.
Right. Which is the whole point.
I think somebody important said that. it might have been Alpha Centauri.
Which is the whole point of this homeschooling thing. Is
exactly.
Parents want to control the information that their kids get to because evil atheistic science.
Right. And that's the other mimetic concept here is that if I can't convince people of my crazy stuff, I'll just raise children, give them no information, and then they have no choice but to believe my crazy stuff. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And go to a break, and then I'm going to be less depressing, I hope. I mean, that's the goal here, right? I'm trying to be upbeat.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on, and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. So I got a huge pile of people to thank. I got to thank Jared and Alexander from the internet for meeting Peggy's challenge. Peggy's challenge is Peggy from Kent here in Washington's challenge to the listeners of Ask an Atheist to help us keep the lights on. You can contribute to Peggy's challenge by going to our webpage and clicking the yellow button on the right-hand side, taking it directly to our PayPal page. And I'm going to cut off the patter here because I have a new group of people to thank. And this is a bit more of a personal thanks. I'd like to thank Jonathan from the TDTF podcast, the Secular Yakking podcast, Jeff from the internet, Jan or Jan from the internet, Mike from Mountain View, Alabama, Donovan from Mobile, Alabama, Robert from Phoenix, Arizona, Huygens Heathen Hoff from Mesa, Arizona. I have a religious blog supporting me. Just wanted to throw that out there. That's a new one on me. Chris from Dallas, Texas, for being my patrons. Oh my God. That's the first time I've done that in like 20 years. Anyway, yeah, I have a Patreon now. And here's the awesome thing. I haven't even posted it anywhere yet. These guys sought me out. I just said, hey, I'm starting a Patreon. And then they went and found it. And here's the other thing. We launched it accidentally. The text isn't ready yet. I haven't finished the video yet. The podcast isn't ready yet. There are so many components not ready yet. And it was posted because...
Oh, I fat-fingered a button.
Becky, I really don't want to blame... Actually, you know what? I'm going to blame Becky
for it. You can blame me. I'll take
it. Because it led directly to this success. And so that is the best fat finger ever. And there's nothing on the website. I've done nothing. Because right now I'm in the middle of like a bunch of stuff that's all like sort of in support of this Patreon thing and what's coming next. So I want to thank all of you guys for being like... Gorilla Patreon guy? Gorilla? Not the great ape. And yeah, so thank you for supporting my Patreon so I can continue to Ask an Atheist, continue to build out the studio, and hopefully do a bunch of other cool stuff. Maybe I'll start talking about that at some point.
Sam, did you just work in a joke from the movie Captain Ron?
I believe I did. It's that kind of day.
That one flew over my head. But we certainly are happy for our patrons.
Yeah, thanks a bunch, guys. It's humbling. It's weird. It's confused. It's creating a wonderful pastiche of emotions I've never experienced before, and can explain inadequately.
Well, I'm going to have fun collecting all of our mystery gifts for some of our higher level patrons.
Ah, indeed.
Yeah.
The repetitive nature of our show, the fact that we have Peggy's Challenge every week, it kind of sounds formulaic, and sometimes it's nice to stop, and this is a good chance to stop and really sincerely say every single person who supports the show means so much to us. Every one of you, no matter how much, how little, it doesn't matter. Anyone who's given anything, anyone who's a patron, anyone who's done Peggy's Challenge, anyone who gave at a streamathon, you guys make the show possible. So thank you.
You are
so much.
I can say, you know, we do run commercials on the show, but we've really dialed back on the commercials for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can say at this moment that you guys are the reason the show continues to exist. Full stop. And I cannot believe I am here. Many days when I get up on Sunday mornings and I crawl up the stairs and I fire up the studio and I go, I'm doing my radio show today. Radio show. I do that. I still do that. So we should probably do some less creepy things. President Obama declared the Stonewall Inn a historic monument, making it the first national monument for the LGBT movement. The Stonewall Inn in the Greenwich Village neighborhood of New York City was the site of a riot against a police raid in 1969. The riot is widely considered to be the beginning of the gay rights movement. In a video statement, the president said, "The riots became protests. The protests became a movement. The movement ultimately became an integral part of America." The move comes after years of pressure from the LGBT activists and politicians, including Congressman Jerry Nadler?
Nadler.
Yay! Who represents New York's 10th Congressional District. First response? You mean it's not yet?
What took so long?
Yeah. I mean, like, really?
I think that this is cementing the president's legacy as someone who, during this president's era, we had huge strides in our country made in the acceptance of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, gender nonconforming peoples, and it's really set the stage for a lot of other social movements.
These do seem like it really felt like the real watershed moments, at least for my personal history in my involvement as an activist in the LGBT community, because it's been something I've been a part of. I've been a supporter, or, you know, I was in the GSA when I was not in college. Because I think we've gone over that to death. And Ref 74 was a big fight here in Washington State, and we won that. And then, you know, the White House switched sides on it, and then the Supreme Court thing happened. It's like all of, maybe, you know, maybe this wasn't the president that did it, but this was definitely the administration where you had serious watershed moments where it really stopped feeling like an uphill battle, and if not necessarily a downhill battle, at least we're on flat ground.
Right. There's definitely been a momentum coming through the last four or five years.
And the reason I go, wait, it isn't yet, is because you've got, like, monuments to some Civil War Confederate guy did something asinine here 200 years ago. And you couldn't do that to the Stonewall Inn? But maybe they just didn't get around to it or something. I'm not going to... this is not a malice thing. It was an actual surprise thing.
Right.
And I'm this is more important to me than I think I'm making it out to be. And, you know, this may not be precisely the center of my identity. My identity is it maybe for some other people. For some other people I know and I'm related to and are very important to me. But this is big. This is big. And maybe I'm underselling it because I don't know how to do it right.
I don't think you can possibly overstate the importance for a community to hear that the government of this country is going to step up and say, this is a moment, this is a place that is a turning point for your community, and we are going to recognize that officially.
Yeah.
I think the integral to America, meaning that you are part of the story and the history of our country. It is, it's all there, and it's huge. It doesn't mean that that's all that there is. And there are some really exciting things, you know, on coming up too, to propel this movement.
The Department of Defense has ended the ban on transgender people serving in the military. Defense Secretary Ash Carter announced the end of the ban would be effective immediately, ending one of the last barriers to military service. Transgender soldiers will be guaranteed medical treatment that doctors consider necessary, including hormone therapy or reassignment surgery. Carter said he studied the issue for a year, including talking to trans service members, experts, and doctors before deciding to end the ban. Some estimates place the number of trans service members as high as 11,000 in the U.S. military.
So there is just more evidence that there's movement that's going on. And it's, you know, there's always going to be pushback from it. There's going to be people that are against it, you know, for these faux medical or social reasons, you know, with their faux research that has been discredited. We know that most of the time people's antagonism towards this is built out of something that's not rational. It's not logical. Often it is religious. And I think incorporation into the integral America is just saying that, you know what, yes, you can have your religious practices, but we are a pluralistic society.
I think what really surprised me about this is I didn't hear this coming down the line. Like, I knew nothing about this happening. And you mentioned a moment ago about how it's no longer an uphill battle. We're feeling the momentum. This is a sense of that momentum.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we don't have to have a massive public pressure to make this happen. Someone at the top is like, huh, let's address this. Right. And then he addressed it.
And it's interesting because, you know, when I say it's flat ground, if not necessarily downhill momentum, is what I'm saying is that it there is there. It's not like there are not barriers between us and where we wish to go mm-hmm. and the way we wish for society to progress. But those the ability to fight those barriers seems to be moving a little faster, if not necessarily a little easier. I'll put it that way. It seems like it might require the same amount of effort, but there's a lot more resources than there used to be because we're in the middle of a fight on transgender rights or the ability for people to have an identity that they get to choose rather than something that's culturally pressed upon them.
Right.
And Becky wants to point out that I-1515 didn't even make it onto the ballot this year, which was Washington's ridiculous bathroom bill.
Octopi can now what?
Can now use hair dryers,
right.
Which is such an oblique joke, I don't have time to explain it. And to me, this is almost exactly the note I want to end this episode on, because today is the end of an era, and we started the show in 2010, 6 years ago now, and we are well above 300 shows. We've been doing practically one show a week without ceasing since 2010, and it's been an amazing ride. And one of the major goals of the show has been that we were always a presence on mainstream media. And so we started out on television. I moved, and then we were a bunch of people, and then I moved it to radio, and it became a smaller amount of people, and now it's basically me and Becky and Dave. And it's been hilarious and fun, and I actually feel like we actually achieved some of our goals by being on mainstream media. And the reason I'm talking about this is that as of today, this is, at least for now, the last episode that Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Mulvey, 844, whatever, will appear or will be heard on broadcast radio, at least for now. And if you're listening to me on the radio, I encourage you to go to askanatheist.tv and check out my website, because we are still going to be producing shows for now. We're still going to be producing shows. I'm still going to be doing it. But there needs to be a change in focus in my life. And I'll be honest with you, the reasons for our going off the air now are almost more, way more personal than they are having anything to do with the show or my love for the show or my ability to do the show. So this train keeps on rolling. You can go to askanatheist.tv, check out of the show. If you've been listening all this time, as my father would say, we love you desperately. And Becky, you've been around for the whole ride too. So, any quick final words?
I have loved doing every single moment of it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lie. There have been some amazing things and some, wow, not so amazing things. But just like any kind of project, any kind of thing, I'll quote The Wizard of Oz here, it's going to get darker before it gets lighter. And we go, mostly towards the light in this case. And I will very much enjoy continuing, production of Ask an Atheist as a podcast.
I have only been with the show now 2 years.
Two years. Yeah, that's nothing.
It's not a short time, but it's not six.
Right.
I haven't been from the beginning, but I do. It's such a fascinating thing just to be in a studio and knowing that somewhere in a car someone might be rolling along, flipping through stations and finding us. And
right.
That's just you're hearing my voice.
And for a brief period of time, I did get to call myself a syndicated talk show host, there which is something go. I never thought I would be able to do. And I really must go out and thank everybody at KKNW, 11:50 a.m. You guys have been amazing. It's a great station. They do great work there. I'd like to thank Michael, the studio guy for us. He's been incredibly understanding of me and my production weirdness over the years. And do come down to Tacoma when you have a chance. And I think on that note, we're wrapping this up. This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Moldy. Our phone number is 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. You can email us at questions at askanatheist.tv. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. We're on Facebook. We're on... if packets pass over it, we can probably talk to us on it. Like I said, it's been fantastic. I'll see you guys soon. Okay, are you still listening?
I'm still listening.
No, I know you guys. I can see you.
That's not always a clear-cut thing, Sam.
Are you suggesting I hallucinate?
No, I'm suggesting that right. Sometimes you can see me, but I'm not listening.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah, so you're my podcast listeners, which, if the statistics are correct, is 99.9% of people who listen to this show. And, being on the radio was such a huge part of why I was doing Ask an Atheist for such a long time, and it was taking up so much of my life and not just your resources, but my resources and everyone's resources.
And our brain space
that the show had stopped. We had become static. We were doing the same thing every week. I felt like I was stuck in a rut, and I really wanted to end the show. I thought, you know what? Have we said everything we needed to say? Have we done everything we've needed to do? Yeah, possibly. And then I went on break. I spent the weekend out of town where I wasn't on social media, and nobody, not even Becky, could get in contact with me. That would have been a shit time to die, right?
Seriously.
But then I let Jeremy host the show for a while. Until he emphatically didn't want to really host the show anymore. Because, this is...
It's a rough gig sometimes.
It can be a rough gig. And then I came back to it and I realized I still loved it. It gets hard saying meaningful things. It gets hard. It's a point that, Dave, you've made several times just in the last 4 or 5 days that it's my job to say controversial shit. It's my job to go up and say stuff that is automatically going to tick off half the population. And
going to get a reaction.
And probably most of the rest of the population. So whenever I say a particular thing, it most people are not going to like what I say. And
sometimes we hear that too.
Sometimes I hear that. And I think in the last year, you may have heard that in my voice on the air where I get a little mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, combined with this fight just to stay waiting, just to keep my head above the water, was creating a really bad scene. And then outside of that, it's been a rough couple years for me. I wrote that article in 2013. Things got better, and then things got dramatically worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the upswing now. It was time for a serious change. And the serious change you're going to be seeing is, well, we got a new website coming. We have this Patreon coming. I think it's time to announce it, Becky.
Go ahead.
We're buying a house.
Yay.
Which means new studio.
Which means brand new studio. And it's going to be bigger and it's going to be better. And it's going to double as a stream-a-thon set because I'm serious about wanting to do stream-a-thons. Because stream-a-thons are hilarious to do and people seem to like them. But they also can raise money for charities, which is what I would prefer to do with those things. And like the Patreon allows me to do that. And I want to go on the road. I want to go out and find the stories rather than just stay in the house and talk about them. I want to go talk to some of these people. I want to go to these people, talk to them, get their side of it, in some cases actually debate them, which is something we early on in the show decided not to do, and I've now changed my mind on that a little bit, and I think it's time for these things. So there's going to be like new shows, but they're going to be related to Ask an Atheist. There's going to be just a lot of fun stuff because this is my life. This is what I want to do, and because I love this and I enjoy it, and I'm happier doing it than I was ever happier writing code, than I ever was being a sysadmin, than I ever was hanging sheetrock, than I ever was anything else you could name, selling newspapers as a 7-year-old. I mean, I could go back that far. This is the best job I've ever had. It also pays the worst. No, sorry, the newspaper job was worse.
7-year-olds aren't high on the fair wage movement.
But I see a lot of people making the I don't know that 15 for paperboys is going to be going anywhere. maybe a shame that. But I seem to have been one of those guys that says you can live comfortably or you can do something awesome. Some people get to do both. And man, if you got that, you'd do that. Do the hell out of that. But for me, it seemed to be a choice, and boy, I love doing the awesome thing. Mm. I really do. Have I waxed poetic enough?
I just think, I feel like I should say, like, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, I've been on the show for two and a half years now.
Yeah.
And when I came on, there were certain concrete, unchangeable facts about this show.
Right. Go ahead and name them.
One of them was, obviously, FCC standards. Right. Don't swear.
Right.
I almost did today. On the last show,
I think everybody who listens to the podcast has heard me drop an F-bomb in the middle of a recording now. Because it was on the Orlando response.
But, that's just basic structural stuff. But the things that really stood out is, number one, we are always going to be on the air. We are always going to be a part of radio, television, some sort of broadcast, free, over the air thing that you can get in your car, you can get in your television, something like that. The other thing was that we don't give time to religious people.
Right.
Because they have enough outlets. We have a very small outlet that we are fighting to keep open, to keep our voices on the air. We are not going to give that little space to them.
I think my first experience with that was actually in the television studio, being a call screener and having a caller say, I would just like to plant a seed. And, we put her through to the main...
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we put her through to the main, hosts on air. And then I picked her back up because, basically, I think you guys cut her off at that point. And I picked her back up as the call screener. And she kept trying to talk to me and testify to me, too. we're done. Because we don't want to be giving that airtime when you already have it, so widely.
Pat Robertson makes millions of dollars on a television show just spouting that 24 hours a day. Why do we need to give him our space?
Early in the days when Casey... Mike and me were Casey and Mike and my sarcastic interjections really were determining the editorial stance of Ask an Atheist when it was Ask an Atheist on cable access. We had tons of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Religious people can call in; they can't be on the show. political discussion can only intersect with atheism, skepticism, and the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
We do not endorse candidates. We only unendorse candidates. We do not talk about, originally, we do not talk about LGBT issues. We do not talk about abortion. We do not talk about immigration. We do not talk about, you know, there was this huge laundry list of things that we decided the show wasn't going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those, because we were worried that we were so into some of these subjects that if we talked about them, it's the only thing the show would be about and would cease being a show about atheism. Some of them, like the LGBT thing, it was because we wanted to take the actual point of these rules is that we would start with these rules and then through the narrative of the show erode them away.
Right.
So one day I just asked the crowd, I just asked on TV, I looked the camera in the eye and I did my worst at, you know, Murrow, and because that's all I've got. And I said, if you have a secular argument to be against gay marriage, now is the time to come forth with it for us. I'll be straightforward with you and I'm going to disagree with you stridently, but I don't think there are secular arguments against marriage equality. I want to hear them now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're rationalists and we need to hear the logic. And we left that door open forever. It felt like
6 years now. Every once in a while, we still
get it.
Toss that one out.
But we said nothing of our own opinion for something like 3 months, for a really freaking long time. I posed the question on TV. I closed it on radio. I mean, it was during the transition we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I did that was honestly for the moral victory that I wasn't sure of at the time, but became increasingly sure as we got towards the end of it. So there aren't any.
Right.
None we heard. I heard a lot of people say, well, okay, if I were to form one, it wouldn't look like this. This is how it would look, but it's not a defensible position for these reasons. I heard a lot of people do that. I did it myself so that I could prepare a proper rebuttal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard, you know, but then we heard from crazy people. And those aren't really secular reasons. They're either...
They're certainly not logical reasons.
They're either just not reasons, or they're based in some other dogma that may as well... That kind of felt like it had a spiritual bent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not meant to be. It violates biology.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah. Crap, or
that's icky.
The law of nature, which can you show me on... You know, can you show me the source code for this?
So can you show me on the phylogenetic tree where...
Yeah. Not every joke has to be that, the doll joke. It's like I started going there, like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. And then when we went to radio, we had even more rules. And, like, we didn't talk about Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was afraid that the GM of the station was a Scientologist because he had the logo on the back of his car. It's like, I don't want to be kicked off the station. We just got here. And it was such a freaking fight to get on the station. And it turns out, and I'm speaking of KLAY here, and I'm speaking of a particular guy who had a Scientology logo on his car because he bought it off a Scientologist. And he says that guy's a really nice guy, and oh, I'm certain he is. But the idea of Scientology in media, for those of us who pay attention to such things, has a very specific tang.
Right.
It's like that has a value set that comes with it if you know what you're talking about. Because a lot of science, you know, it used to be that if you were a Scientologist in the media in a position of an editorial position, you were going to control it in favor of Scientology. It's like we say nothing.
Right. We can't afford the lawyers.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that ended up getting eroded away. And
yeah.
We did end up doing episodes in Scientology and mentioning Scientology also.
Right. And then we had other rules. Like, it wasn't going to be about the personalities. It was going to be about the information. But then that doesn't really work for radio. So we had to add personality to it.
And people like people.
Yeah. And that's when I started becoming the asshole you're listening to now, I guess.
This is Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey.
Yeah. Well, that was the final transformation when I knew where things were completely fucked. I mean, it was... It was like, oh, God, what happened? What did I do?
You were fighting that one. We kind of forced that one on you.
That one I chewed on for like something like 6 months.
Yeah.
I chewed on it. No, I think closer to a year. It's like, I don't know. Because then everybody's going to say it's a egotistical power grab. And it's going to reinforce the position that Mike left under some sort of weird falling out between me and Mike, and we hate each other. And
Mike was at our house for 12 hours yesterday watching stupid movies
with us. Yeah, and I was a bad lay or something like that. I mean,
well, I can't comment.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just going to reinforce all the crappy things we've heard about ourselves in the recent, since Mike left the show. Mm-hmm. Because for a long time on the air, it was the Sam and Mike show. Let's not lie.
Right.
So I'm basically just going over Ask an Atheist history now.
Cool.
But
can Ken Burns to narrate this part?
Yeah. Slow pans over photos. Slow pan over photo. Slow pan over photo.
While reading emails in a very calm voice. Yeah.
Historical old guy. Slow pan over photo. I actually love Ken Burns. I'm not going to lie. And yeah, I mean, we've basically broken every rule we started out with. Mm-hmm. Now, I
feel like podcast only is the last one.
Yeah, that was the last rule. That was it. And now we're past that barrier.
We are.
We will be past that barrier in 3 hours. And yeah, it's a show about personalities now. It's a show. It's a show where I am willing to admit that I backed Bernie Sanders and that Mike was an operative in the Green Party, mm-hmm. which are not things that I was willing to admit. Not because I want this to be a political show, but because I want people to be more open about what they are, about their whole identities. I've kind of go without bringing all that weird hippie stuff, be a little bit more holistic about identities in this show. And
it's like that T-shirt that Bridget has. Yeah. I'm an atheist. I'm also other things.
Precisely. Yeah. And so, you know, it wasn't to scare off libertarians. It was more an invitation to say, let your freak flag fly.
Cool.
Yeah. And not to say that you're a freak if you're a libertarian. I'm saying we're all find your flag, hoist that sucker. And and that's where the show is going. We're still going to do news. I'm still going to be me. We have the technology to do interviews again. And I'm going to be able to invest more time in the production side of the show and in the hosting side of the show. And I'll be honest with you guys. And this is what I'm going to end on is I want to thank you two.
Oh.
Thank you, Sam.
Because in these last couple years, I've been manning the desk and the wiring, and you guys have been doing everything else. And everything else is quite a lot. And
high five, Dave.
Yeah. And I could not be this bloviating albatross. I don't know. Whatever. What other cool 19th century words can we bring to bear against this? If it weren't for the information that you guys provide to me on a weekly basis. And one of the things that I'm going to be able to do that I haven't been able to do, once the house is bought, I suppose I should say, is write.
Mm-hmm.
Writing was my favorite thing. And I'm looking forward to it because you guys are fantastic to work with. And I was really terrified because today is the Sounders Timbers game. It's like, it is, you go to a Sounders Timbers game, you call yourself Al Hodge, correct?
Al Hodge.
Once in your life, if you can afford it, you must go to a Sounders Timbers
game. Oh, yes.
I'm making a really oblique Islam reference.
Okay. It is still Ask an Atheist.
It's not a pillar of MLS, but it should be.
Right. And that's right now. It is right now. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to go watch some soccer.
Okay. I do want to say one little thing before we cut that off.
Okay.
When you say, like, you do the wiring and we do everything else, I feel like this is a sign of a really great splitting of responsibilities. When I'm at work and I'm giving my drivers their routes, if everyone complains to me, I know I did it right. Because no one's happy, but everything's getting done.
Yes.
When you say you're doing the wiring and stuff, we're doing everything else, I'm like, I do the news and the writing. You guys do everything else.
Well, you do the news, which is on a news show, pretty freaking important. You handle correspondence. You've handled business stuff. You've You've been an ambassador for the show in public spaces.
I try.
And you're talking to both of us now?
You're talking to both of us now. And yeah, the fact, I was a little worried that because of the Timbers game that it wasn't going to be you today. And I really wanted this episode to be the three of us. And yeah. But hey, you have an edited episode of Ask an Atheist. And I'm not expecting to ask you to do one ever. But the fact that now we can all do many of the jobs that are involved with producing the show, I think that's a good thing.
I agree.
Even if it's a resource not tapped, which is what my expectation is. But now we're just into so much inside baseball.
Yay,
that we are
team.
Actually inside of a baseball.
I'm counting stitches.
Yeah.
Shit, it's cork in here.
It's not. Oh. this one's not regulation. Send it to the Yankees. And that's all the time I've got for today. Well, thanks for listening to me spout off. This is an end of an era, and I felt like I need to mark it with some inside stuff, and it's a big one. We're not a radio show anymore. And boy, did I flog the fact that we were a radio show. Anyways, we're going to be back on the air someday. It's still going to be 1 hour of clean content every week. It's still going to be at askanatheist.tv. We will be back on the air. I shall return.